You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
We gotta go, we gotta go, we gotta go. Busy show, busy show, busy show. Thursday. It's like the Boxing Day to Hump Day, right? It's the next day after Christmas, right? It's a Fang Fang kind of Thursday. Love that gal. Love her spunk. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Matt Neely.
Have we parked the yacht?
We have parked the yacht.
Docked the yacht.
We've docked the yacht. And Freedom One is ready to go.
Back at the Balboa Bay Club.
I've been talking to, Amador didn't have it in the budget for helicopter maintenance when he first bought the stations. But we're doing okay now. So Freedom One is going to go back out, I think, and do some traffic reporting, which is awesome. I mean, especially in this town. I mean, when we really started looking at once Freedom, this is where we screwed up. Once Freedom One went out of commission, did you notice that all these people were getting hit on the street because they weren't being informed?
Right. Only so, you can connect those dots, sir.
Absolutely. So I want you as much as possible to get Freedom One up in the air tonight, if you can. In the midst of all the eight other zillion things you're doing, Matthew. We're going to do that. All right, busy show today.
Warming it up out on the back porch. I don't know if you can hear it.
I can. Sounds amazing. Something wrong with the engine there, maybe.
No, we'll sounds like a little low-speed mess.
Send it over to the JTED kids. They'll fix
it
for us.
All right.
So, can't afford a real mechanic right now because things are kind of tight. You know, there's a war going on, as we say. Grandpa Simpson would say. We didn't have baby formula in those days because there was a war going on. New York Times has a big story yesterday about parents driving hours to get baby formula. So, actually, Matt, let's get that ready. Tell me if that's ready to fire up. It's only 40 seconds. So, here's the as my cousin Jimmy calls him, Uncle Bad Sniff, who's the president of the United States. That's something. Here we go. Listen to this crazy.
People lying on all kinds of vehicles. Just to get a box of food in their trunk. How quickly forget? People were hurting. And what did the MAGA crowd want to do? God is in the United States of America. The idea that people would wait in line an hour and a half to get a box of food in their trunk. It's just unbelievable.
The guy's talking about himself.
Right.
I mean, this is at the IBEW convention, and this guy's just wandering around like a crazed preacher. He's going, Larson, bottom of the hour. Schweiker, top of the hour. Joanne DiFilippo, Pima County, follow up at 7:37, followed up at 8:15 by John Brakey of the whole audit Arizona voting thing.
Is he still wandering around,
no,
Chris?
No. In the midst of all that other stuff that I just told, and all those great people coming on today, thank God Matt played that. That was great. That'll get you all fired up at 6:08 in the morning. We got FBI whistleblower reveals FBI did investigate parents who were calling out their school boards. So we got that. Let's see. Newsworms. Hold on. That's a great Freudian slip. Newsrooms warn journalists to keep abortion views private. Because I gotta read you the people who voted yes for the radical abortion bill that Schumer slammed through yesterday are most, a lot of them didn't actually want to vote for it at all. The people most pissed off at that going on are not Republicans. right? It's Democrats, especially ones running for re-election.
And Schumer's all, we're going to put them all on record. Whoever, well, yeah, he may have put the wrong ones on record, right?
Whoever comes out of the Republican Senate primary, you got to be... Because that is, it wasn't just a it wasn't just a Roe v. Wade. Even Manchin said it's an expansion of abortion rights. All right, we'll talk about that. And Mark Kelly is now on the record voting for this, which is just beautiful. I like this. MSNBC sends Meet the Press Chuck Todd packing. Oh, shocking. Washington Post op-ed says George Washington University has to change its name.
Say what?
You heard me.
The Washington Post
yes.
says George Washington University has to change their name.
Yeah, there's an op-ed in there.
Well, maybe the newspaper ought to also change their name.
I'm good with that.
Yeah. Look in the mirror, guys.
Val Cavazos covers students that went to the TUSD school board meeting talking about Tucson High. We'll talk about that. We had 107,000 fatal drug overdoses. Lockdowns matter. Let's see what else we got here today. I got to that catalytic converter. Matt sent me another survey about about 5th and 6th Street. And I have to see. Hopefully I can. They didn't let me put pansexual last time, so I put other.
I don't think you had to study up on what gender you are today for that survey.
And then, you know, the more I think we're going to find out from a couple of people I talked to yesterday, this shooting near Amphi yesterday, Amphi High School. It feels like there hasn't been much coming out yet. We have adult victim with obvious signs of trauma. Victim has passed away. So this is like basically murder at near Amphi High School. Right before the kids were going to school yesterday. Matt, can we run some Democrats who know how to, who actually give a damn about their city? That's where I'm at now. Yeah, I'd like a Republican to be on there, but the way the citywide voting is, can we vote a Democrat in who actually gives a damn? Because obviously none of these people give a damn. They don't even talk about it. You know, Fimbres is Mr. like law enforcement guy, like whatever he did in his past, right? And he's such a chicken crap, he can't even say a word. Would you worry that Raheem is going to tweet about you? How do you go to bed at night, Fimbres? Or any of these people? Whoever you think your constituency is, the people you really care about, they're all suffering under you. And you won't even talk about it. Right? Nikki Lee had great hopes for her. And the best thing she came out with was there's a law that says it's illegal to outlaw black haircuts. That's what you got for me? You don't care about the black people in your community getting murdered every day. Because you don't say anything. How do you guys look at yourself in the mirror? This lady it sounds like she got shot in the face is what I heard, right before Amphi's kids are going to school. Well, let's do this. Let's go to the old tweeter real quick, and then we'll go to break. And then I did watch the 2000 Mules film, and I will give you a little bit of, yes, we got it. Thank you. Jeez, Twitter. Let's go to the Queen Mayor. Let's go to the Queen Mayor's. Here we go. What she got on her? Here we go. So a woman gets shot in the face yesterday at Amphi High, and she has, today's the last day to mail your ballot for 411. 14 hours ago. Oh, this is amazing. I applaud every town and my fellow co-chair at New York City mayor to revoke a federal firearms license of Polymer 80, the world's largest. She's talking about ghost guns. That's what you got?
That's the big issue, huh?
Sick puppies, as we like to say in the Pima Animal Control. Sick puppies. 6:14 in the morning. We come back. We'll talk about it more tomorrow because a lot of interviews today. But I've had several people say, "Have you seen 2,000 Mules? Have you seen it? Have you seen it?" I have now seen it. I'll give you some initial Chris's initial reactions. So you're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice. Larson Schweikert, Joanne DiFilippo, 7:30. And then we have John Brakey on what's going on in the madness of elections. Countrywide, locally, everything. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Biggest birthday today. Screw Florence Nightingale. Sick of her. Carlin's pretty big, George Carlin. Yogi Berra. We got to do, usually on Yogi's birthday, we do our yogiisms.
Well,
so
we'll do some,
we'll
sure.
We'll have to get the list of yogiisms out.
A lot safer than limericks because it's limerick day too, but I think yogiisms is a lot safer.
What's the one when you see a fork in the road, go straight or whatever he says? Or
see a fork in the road, take it.
Take it. That's right. Yep. Thank you. Look at me. I'm doing yogiisms of yogiisms, for God's sakes.
Malapropism of another
thank
malapropism.
You very, thank you very much.
I like the one that you're talking about downtown. He goes, nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded.
Don't know. I'm not aware of anything like that locally. Now, you're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Big birthday today. Of course, it's Yogi Berra's birthday. And, of course, I'm doing my Wynwood stuff now between traffic and Spencer Davis and Solo.
And Barry Borden from Molly Hatchet.
Go to hell. Billy Squire, who wore spandex like no man would ever believe. He's got a couple of fun tunes. So I don't know what the Stroke's about, though. Now, anyway, 2,000 Mules. I got to see it in the last couple days, and a bunch of you have asked me, have you seen it? Have you seen it? Have you seen it? I have. Now, to me, 2,000 Mules is a, to get where we need to be on election integrity, this is a bite of a very big sandwich, is the way I look at it. Right? So the basis of the if you haven't watched it yet, the Mules thing, I'm not ruining anything for you. Is an organization, the True the Vote guys, and some company bought a bunch of cell phone data where they're tracking cell phones. And then using whatever supercomputers you're using, you can figure out, look for common phones that have been to common areas. And the common areas that they look at are ballot drop boxes, right? And nonprofit organizations that say they're there to help support voter participation. You know, like, I don't know if, I'm not saying this is a group, but like, you know, you see, we were just talking last week about Mi Familia Vota, right? And how they're asking you, they're going to help you get a COVID shot. That's their big, they're spending a lot of money on Facebook for that. And then Josh was at the Pima County Fair, Jacobson, and said, oh my God. And my take was on Facebook, I shared that and I said, oh, is Mi Familia Vota offering a COVID shot so they can voter register you? And that's what they were doing exactly at Pima County Fair. Mi Familia Vota. Now, so you have this, they're looking at the data, they're track, the mules are people who are getting paid according to the movie, and they're tracking their, again, the cell phone data. You know, it's not particular. They don't know exactly who it is. That you can't buy that. I'm sure you could, but you got to pay a lot more. And you're tracking them. They even have a part where you saw that a good portion of some of these mules were also running around various downtowns during Antifa riots as part of the movie. So you got that going. And then they're showing video of cameras on the ballot boxes saying that, and you're seeing people stuff somewhere between, I don't know, 10 and 30 or so ballots into the drop boxes. And of course, the drop boxes is the big problem. And so then you have that. That's a part of it. Then they have the interviews with a couple of people that have the distort over their face and the and, you know, and the backlighting, so you can't tell, and their distorted voice. One is a guy who was working for the National Republican Senatorial Committee, and he actually took pictures and videos of people stuffing ballots during the Georgia special election for the Senate, said he gave it to the NRCSC, and they didn't do anything with it. Then you had the local flavor was a lady from San Luis, Arizona, just south of Yuma, and talking about how she was the one paying mules. And they would go into communities targeting, this is what she says in the movie, targeting seniors who don't speak English and basically, you know, getting their, I don't know if they were paying them for the ballots. She also referred to her local party, local political machine down there as the mafia. And she said if she's afraid, that's why she didn't come on camera, if, you know, she thinks she would actually suffer bodily harm if they knew who she was. But the movie says she's, hopefully, I think she's dealing with actual, you know, the authorities. So anyway, so Yuma County, Arizona is actually in the Mules movie. So in the end, so why do I say it's a bite at the sandwich? Is because you have to take it to the next level, right? What is, you know, what do we do with this information? Right? The drop boxes are huge. I mean, they're, if you can eliminate drop boxes, I'm a big fan of, you know, I'm a vote in person kind of guy, right? Remember Jimmy Carter did a whole thing, a commission on voter election integrity in America 15, 20 years ago. And this is something in Europe that they say that one thing you should not have is mail-in voting. It is the most ripe for fraud and bad actions. Once you lose the chain of custody, it's over. So again, Republicans, while we were having Trump train with 48 cars driving down Oracle Road, the Democrats, all that money that came, remember all that money that came from Zuckerberg and his missus, right? That was to promote ease of voting because of during the Rona, and then we had all these ballot boxes. Actually, the lady from Yuma County says that they told everyone that you should be dumping ballots at night. There was also another part of it where they said dump it at night, and then there's certain ballot boxes to go to because they knew there wasn't a camera on the ballot box. So you got ballot dump boxes that with no cameras on it, and these people are just walking up at 2 a.m. and dumping in ballots. So if you're walking out of there saying this is incontrovertible proof, they're not there yet. All right. Because it has to lead you down the line to, and they're getting there, but this is a bite of the sandwich. I'm glad he made the movie. Right. There's people going to say, I've already seen you just go look online, right? The fact checks from whatever newspaper out there. It's only about an hour flick. And it's a good first step, right? That you see. So what happens is someone has to verify how that, you know, I don't know who do you trust to do that? Right? You got to verify that data. Right. But just looking at these people shoving, this is the problem, right? You have, think about it. They have facial recognition software whenever you're walking around an airport or some of these areas. They should be facial recognitioning these people who are dumping boxes and start prosecuting because you can't, they're doing it in states like Arizona where it's illegal to do such things. So, Ryan Larson coming up next. Wake up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. 790-2040 is the phone number. Let's go right to the phones. Ryan Larson, the sports intern. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Not too shabby. Let's go right. Give me a Phoenix Suns update. I haven't paid attention to them until I'll talk to you 7 days ago.
Well, it hasn't been a great week for the Suns. They were up 2-0 in their series against the Dallas Mavericks, but they ended up losing games 3 and 4 on the road in Dallas. And then the other night, two nights ago, they had game five at home in Phoenix again. And they were able to win that game in dominant fashion. They won by 30 in that game five. And so the Suns are up 3-2 over the Mavericks now. Game six is tonight in Dallas. And then if they end up losing that game, then they'll play game seven at home. But for the Suns, just what we've seen from them is in games three and four, the first issue for them was that Chris Paul had bad games in three and four. Chris Paul is what drives the offense. Devin Booker is their primary scorer for sure, but Chris Paul is the one you want running the offense. And then in game three and four, he just kind of sucked, honestly. It was a bad game for him overall. In game three, he had a million turnovers, it felt like, wasn't able to score very much. And then in game four, he only played 23 minutes because he fouled out, only had 5 points in that game. And so that really hurt the Suns just losing Chris Paul. You don't want Cameron Payne being the one running your offense, playing 16 minutes a game. He's a good backup, but he's not the guy you want in control of everything for the Suns. So that was bad. And then the second thing we've learned about the Suns is that if they're going to beat the Mavericks, you just want to let Luka Doncic score as much as he's going to score in these games. You can let Luka go off for 40 points. That's not an issue for the Suns. The issue is when the rest of the Mavericks role players actually contribute in the game. Then that's when the Suns are in trouble, because in games three and four, there were some huge games for Mavericks role players. You had Dorian Finney-Smith scoring 24 in game three. You had Jalen Brunson scoring 20 in both of those games. And so for the Suns, Luka Doncic alone can't beat you. We've seen that over and over again in three games where the Suns have won. Doncic has scored over 20 points. He's had 30 and 40 in two of those games. But when the rest of the Mavericks don't contribute, the Suns win those games. And so that's going to be the game plan for the Suns going into game six. Is you're fine letting Luka score 40. You're fine letting him take 20 shots in the game. But you want to shut down the rest of the Mavericks role players, because if they do, the Suns are going to have a really good chance to win. We're just going to hope Chris Paul has a better game on the road running the offense. And we've seen good games from guys like Booker and Ayton recently. And so we're not really concerned about that. It's just we'll see what Paul can do. We'll see if the Mavericks role players show up, because if they don't, we've seen the Suns can win by 30 pretty easily.
Let's move over to today also, happy Yogi Berra's birthday today. I want to just give you that too. So
happy birthday to the legend. 10 World Series right there. I love that guy.
The baseball is 90% mental. The other half is physical. Just want to give you some some Yogi-isms for the day. Have you been paying attention to Pac-12 baseball?
To an extent, yeah. What do you want to talk about?
Tell me who's leading the dojo in the Pac-12 baseball. Where do the Cats play into any of this? What's going on?
Yeah, so we're coming up on the Pac-12 on the NCAA baseball tournament right now, and things have been looking pretty all right for the Cardinals right now.
Wildcats.
The Cardinals. Yeah.
It's all right.
I know what the Wildcats are called. But things have been all right for them. And so in the Pac-12 standings right now, we have a few things to look at coming into the end of the tournament. And so some of the better teams that we are seeing in the Pac-12, we have Oregon State right now, who is leading things in the Pac-12. They are 18-6 in conference play. They're 39-9 overall, but there's a couple teams that have a chance to compete with them. In second place right now, we've got Stanford, who's 15-9, and then in third, we got the Wildcats, who are tied with UCLA at 14-10. So the Wildcats are having a good season overall. They're going to be able to compete in the NCAA tournament for sure. The question is, will they be able to host the regional? And based on their record right now, that's going to be pretty close. They are playing in one of the toughest baseball conferences in the entire country. It's really between the Pac-12 and the SEC. They're the two best when it comes to baseball. But they're not going to win the conference at this point, probably. They're three games behind Oregon State in the standings, and we're down to 1 week left in the season. So it's going to be tough for the Cats, but as of right now, they're doing well. It's been a good season, and they're going to have a chance. They're not going to be one of those teams that goes into that NCAA tournament and just gets swept right away, just kind of one of the last four. And they're going to be competitive. They're going to have a chance, and we'll see what the Wildcats can do. We've seen them make runs in the tournament before when they're not a top 16 seed. It's definitely harder when you're not hosting the regionals, but they should be in business.
So this weekend, they are actually playing Oregon State. So this is a pretty big weekend for them playing three games against the Pac-12 leaders, and they're hosting them.
Yeah, when they're hosting them at home, when they're three games behind Oregon State, if they can sweep the series, then they can potentially tie the Beavers. The issue is, will they be able to catch Stanford as well and claim a share of the Pac-12 title? It's pretty unlikely that they'll be able to do that, and then they'll have three games on the road at Oregon to finish. But if Arizona can win six in a row at the end, they're going to have a chance to pull things out to at least claim a tie of the Pac-12 title. And so it's going to be a big week for the Wildcats. All these games are on Pac-12 Network, so you should be able to watch them if you want to keep up with the Cats coming into this last week.
And it's so easy to go to a Wildcats game in Tucson. I mean, High Corbett is very centrally located. It's a great place to watch a game. Hang out with Jesse Lugo. He's there all the time making it happen. So do it up. And then in Pac-12, I was just looking at, I said, well, let's see what's going on in the world of softball. And we've had quite a fall from grace this year at the world of the Wildcats, especially with the Sun Devils are dominating the dojo on the softball side.
Yeah, so Arizona's already claimed the Pac-12 title in softball. And so for the Wildcats, they have had a bit of a fall from grace, you could say, in that they were a top 16 seed last year, were able to host the regionals and the NCAA tournament, made it to the final eight in Oklahoma City, and everything was looking good for the Wildcats. But this year they're 32-18, but they're 7-14 in conference play. And so they've just kind of gotten run over in the Pac-12 right now. The thing is, if you look at bracketology for women's softball, which does exist, by the way, if you want to look at that, Arizona in most brackets is still projected to be one of the final 14s in, but they're going to be on pins and needles this last week of the season for softball, because they're right on the edge. If it was, they'd be right on the bubble for this tournament, and so they're going to need to finish very strong here in their last series against Stanford. If they win all three against Stanford, which are at home again, then they should be okay. They should make the tournament. But if they lose the series or even go 2-1, then their place in the tournament is going to be much less secure.
Yeah, they're tied for dead last in the Pac-12, the Cats, with Oregon State. So,
yeah, tied for dead last is kind of relative in the Pac-12, because the Pac-12 as a whole is really good at softball.
Yep.
You want to look at their overall record, where they're 32-18, because Pac-12 losses are good losses in general. Really, only losing to Oregon State is kind of bad. Even teams like Utah and Cal might make the Pac-12 tournament this year. And so it's a bad look for sure. But overall, the quality of play is not significantly worse than it was last year. It's definitely worse, but it's not as big of a drop-off as you would think, going from one of the top teams in the Pac-12 to tied for last.
Let's talk about the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. Kind of one of the best stories of a Kentucky Derby win. I can't believe I'm going to say this, ever.
Did you bet on Rich Strike, Chris?
I did not. Nowhere on my radar.
That would have been a bold play from you to bet on Rich Strike, who did end up winning the Kentucky Derby. He was 80-1 odds, one of the longest odds you'll ever see win the Kentucky Derby. I believe it was top five of all time. And it's a great win for striking his trainer. The funny thing is, his jockey was suspended for careless riding yesterday. This was for races before the Kentucky Derby. It wasn't for careless riding during the Kentucky Derby. But just a crazy story, just really coming out of nowhere. And that's kind of the appeal of these horse races, besides the gambling aspect of it, is you see these long shots from time to time come out of nowhere and win these races. And it's fun to root for the underdog unless you bet on the favorites. And so it was a good Kentucky Derby overall, and looking forward to the last couple legs of the Triple Crown.
So this guy who rides Rich Strike has been suspended 32 days since last September 15th. He's a little rough on the horses is what it sounds like. He served a separate suspension for, quote, presenting false and altered documents from a separate from a physical examination to West Virginia stewards and inflicting visible injuries on one of his mounts through a misuse of the whip. So this story just gets weirder.
Tell me how he has all these suspensions. So he has these suspensions. He's also had, this is his fifth careless riding suspension since September. How is he only suspended 4 days?
Yeah.
What do you have to do to be suspended in horse racing besides, like, you know, actually drug up your horse?
I'm with you. Let's take a quick call on Yogi Berra. Cowboy Dave, you're on with Chris and Mr. Larson. What's up?
Mr. Ute. Hey, yes. Yogi Berra, he's a Navy veteran. He was in Operation Overlord, D-Day landing. He was shot, wounded. He received the Purple Heart. So I imagine with those 10 World Series rings, he's probably one of the only Yankees that has a Purple Heart, too. God bless you, Yogi.
God bless you. Thanks for that call, buddy. I appreciate that. Thanks for reminding us of his service. Yogi's, you know, one of the I think he's got to be the greatest catcher in baseball history, right? And there's been a few others, but I don't know if you can touch Yogi. Go.
Yeah, he's definitely up there. I mean, Yogi, you look at in terms of longevity, Yogi played 19 seasons as a catcher, and he's a productive hitter the entire time. That's just something that is completely unheard of in this day and age. There just aren't that many catchers who even produce offensively anymore. Feels like every catcher on every Major League Baseball team is batting below 200. But Yogi, who's out there every night catching, and he's still able to hit like crazy. You look at those 10 World Series rings, just shows how incredibly great he was behind the plate. And then it's just his career WAR of 60 with 358 home runs. Those are incredible catcher numbers. And so, just Yogi Berra on the Yankees. He was an all-star for 16 straight years. He was an incredible player, deserved to be in the Hall of Fame as number 8, obviously retired by the Yankees. One of the all-time greats of catchers. I don't know if he's the best catcher of all time, but he's in your top 5 for sure. He's up there with guys like Johnny Bench. And so shout out to Yogi, who I never got to watch him play, but in terms of historical Yankees, he's definitely one of my favorites.
At Yogi Berra Night, 1947 in St. Louis, he uttered this amazing, as he's being honored by friends and family, I want to thank you for making this day necessary. It's our boy.
Oh, man.
And then one last thing, Tom Brady is already signed a TV deal to become the lead analyst at Fox for an ungodly amount of money.
Yeah, he signed for $375 million with Fox. This is for whenever he retires.
How many years?
10 years. So okay. $37.5 million a year.
He's slumming.
Tom Brady is slumming. He's going to be one of those bad athletes who makes more in retirement than he did during his playing career. But this is becoming more common in sports media. Drew Brees started the trend the other year. He signed a deal with NBC before he had even retired in order to go into the booth. And it's kind of a risky proposition, because sometimes you look at guys who are great players, who are well-spoken, and you think, yeah, they're going to be great in the booth. They're going to be great calling games. And they're actually kind of bad. Look at Jason Witten in the Monday Night Football booth. He was pretty awful. Drew Brees wasn't amazing this last year, and he's getting paid a ton of money by NBC. And so, I guess Tom Brady, in the month he was retired, took one look at retirement and was like, I can never be retired ever again. I hate this. So I'm just going to line up my post-playing career job right now so that I never have to just be home with my family all the time. And he's going to get paid well for it. It's a good amount of money. I don't blame him for doing it. We'll see if Tom Brady is very funny. He's very engaging, but we'll see how he is actually calling games. I mean, I'm not convinced that he's going to be great at it. I hope he is. But we'll see what happens.
Well, you said Dennis Miller was going to be great on Monday Night Football, and that didn't work out. No, I'm just kidding.
Did I say that? I don't want that on my hands.
I think Larson was 8 when Miller was on.
My favorite Dennis Miller line was during.
Younger. I think I was 6.
My favorite Dennis Miller line during a game, the offense was struggling, and he says they're playing the prevent offense.
Nice. It always,
not a bad line. I'll give him that one.
It always feels weird. He's like, yeah, that reminds me of that line by Voltaire, the way he made that tackle. And you're like, that's a little too deep, my friend. So, Larson.
Everyone wants some Voltaire philosophy in their Monday Night Football.
All right, sir. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. And thanks for all the good work, as always, sir.
You as well, Chris. Have a great week.
Later, buddy. Most knowledgeable sports host person
anywhere.
In Tucson, Arizona, and he doesn't even live here. That's what's amazing about that kid. So 6:49 in the morning. Sorry, young man. 6:49 in the morning. Christy Simone. Schweikert coming up top of the hour. After Schweikert, Joanne DiFilippo, Pima County part. And then John Brakey will be here giving us an election update on Arizona and other parts of the country at 8:15. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Billy!
So, yes. this song pretty much torched his career.
What? Why would you say that?
So, there was a book that came out several years ago about MTV, and they used to promote...
Is this the one that's in interview form more, or is it actually a...
No, it's more anecdotal. It wasn't so much interviews. But they were talking to the VJs, and anyway, what happened with this song, this particular song, was you know how they used to tease videos, and they, hey, we got a world premiere video coming up this Tuesday night at 8:00 Eastern or whatever.
I remember those Halcyon days.
And so what they would, and they did that with this song, and they were nowhere near having a video ready, and I forget who he got involved to produce it. They kept going around. They didn't have anything going. The deadline was coming up, and then they just did the one with them writhing about on a bed.
That's one.
And it was kind of a bomb, right? And his career was on an upward arc. And then after that video, he was not so much.
That Billy. What a scamp. Patra, our good friend from the Acres, the Patra from the PA, said, hey, the shooting is not at the high school, but in front of the elementary school.
Yeah.
So... Mm-hmm. On Prince between Stone and Fontana. So, the misery continues, as we like to say. Let's see if I can sneak this. I'm not going to play it, but I want to give you some. Val Cavazos did a story about the update on the riot at Tucson High. So, some of the kids went to this... Well, why do you keep playing
this? He's
still
wandering around talking and yelling. Just to get a box of food.
That has touched you for some reason. That's like a bad... This has touched you like a bad Arizona Daily Star story. So some of the kids went to the call to the audience. Now remember, go back to that... Remember I told you, was it Seacrest Middle School? The kids who were the Honor Society kids went to the board, this is a few years ago, and said, this school's like Attica, dude. Right? So, a student told the board, let's see, okay, there's a letter that a student wrote. How are we supposed to remain protected at our school if the adults aren't even partially prepared for what could happen? We want a change in policy that would actually protect us and not put us in more danger, unquote. A student at the call of the audience, quote, Tucson High has become an unsafe place to learn due to the shortage of safety monitors and severe lack of resources for students who are clearly at risk of taking violent action, unquote. Another student said, quote, the district needs to, quote, address problems at the root, not just respond to violent actions as they arise, unquote. A teacher on a letter read to the board, quote, it's been made abundantly clear to me that my students feel unsafe and think serious changes are needed as soon as possible. So not even TOSD can get Maslow's hierarchy of needs. That's where we're at. So when you send your kids to the Home of Champions, there are a lot of these different, not all of them, but a good portion of these TOSD schools, they can't even, this idea of feeling safety and not worrying about bodily harm, this is now in the equation at TUSD. So it's like, okay, can you teach the kids to read? No. Can you teach them to be competent at math? No. Right? Will the kid come home alive or unhurt at the end of the day? Yeah. Right? I mean, that when Lawrence and I coach soccer, we'd always say, hey, our number one priority, right, is when to the parents, right, and the kids, right? You send us your kid to play soccer, and at the end of the game or the practice, we're going to send them home in the same shape as they were, right? When Chris got carded yelling at refs, it was always about refs being too loose with the whistle and kids getting hurt, okay? This is where we're at TUSD now. They can't make that promise because the place is a crap hole. It's an out of control, discipline-less crap hole. Adelita Grijalva has been there now for 14 years. And she's at Pima County. The Grijalva.
Something to reassure you.
I mean, it's a train wreck, dude. Everything I've ever, the chickens are coming home. They haven't just, you know something? I used to say that. Jeremiah Wright, the chickens are come home to roost. They're building condos at TUSD in the city of Tucson. Forgive them, Lord. They know not what they... Let's go to break. Or maybe they do know what they're doing. Congressman Schweiker coming up next.